In dark times, when you're feeling homesick or defeated, there is really nothing like a good steaming soup and dumplings made from scratch. What a line from the novel The Family Chow, set in a fictitious town called Haven, Wisconsin. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This gripping novel is at the intersection of a multitude of tensions, like race and culture, the American dream, identity, belonging. Have you heard about or read The Family Chow? Maybe your book group is taking it up. What do you want to ask its author? 800-642-1234. Lan Samantha Chang is director of the Writer's Workshop at the University of Iowa. Her new murder mystery, The Family Chow, is set in the home state of her childhood, that is Wisconsin. Samantha, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, Kate. It's great to be here.
Oh, my goodness. I couldn't help it, but as I was reading with my Wisconsin radar on alert, just keeping an eye out for anything that might have hinted to me that it was Wisconsin. And, you know, that wasn't really necessary because I grew to understand that the themes and tensions that you bring out could reside in any smaller community with a tight-knit minority community. Can you tell us about your coming of age in Appleton and how it influenced what you wrote about here?
Sure. I was born in Appleton in 1965, and my oldest sister, who was 10 at the time, told me that we integrated the town, that we were the first Chinese American family to live in the town for any length of time. And I do remember growing up with two other families. They both had boys, and so my sisters and I were the Asian girls in town. Appleton at the time, you know, was not a small town. It was a small city. Mm-hmm. And it had a lot of different, you know, people of different backgrounds. But primarily, I would say everyone was white. You know, there were German Americans, Irish Americans, you know, many communities of different faiths. As I grew up, there were more and more Chinese Americans. Most of them, I think, came to Appleton because of jobs at, you know, paper making
mills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Engineering jobs. There, many from Taiwan, and my parents became friends with them, and they tried to start a Chinese school, which sort of didn't really go perfectly well because a lot of us didn't do our homework. But it was a community, and I remember that very well. A community within the town.
Your family,
and we knew a lot about the families.
Your family would drive to Chicago once a year to buy fresh Asian ingredients and soy sauce. And it's so interesting because the food descriptions in your book, Samantha, are exquisite. And it's like you want to just, as a reader, just eat your way through your book. And I wonder, I'm just wondering how that influenced how you, you know, and like Winnie in the book, you know, made the restaurant, you know, so that her white American patrons will, you know, what they would and wouldn't eat and their tolerance for the cuisine. And I'm just wondering how that influenced the element of food in your book.
I mean, my mother actually kept a list in her recipe file box of what our American friends would and wouldn't eat. My dad, you know, he was a sociable man, and he invited friends over to our house. And my mom tried to figure out how to cook for them over time. And there was a whole list. I remember reading about when I was very young. And one of the things was that large pieces of beef were a big hit.
So the Family Chow is partially about three sons and their different reactions to growing up as Asian American immigrants in Wisconsin. How do you see their experiences very, very different from one another?
I think this happens in so many families. There'll be more than one sibling. There'll be space maybe a few years apart. In this book, the siblings are spaced pretty far apart. And they'll encounter a different family depending on their birth order. So in my book, the oldest son, William Dago Chow, you know, he was the product of his parents' very youthful, sort of hopeful, time in their marriage, in their Americanhood, in their American lives. They had big dreams and hopes, and they thought he was going to make their lives succeed. So he grew up with these big expectations, and when he left home, he was disappointed because he couldn't quite do it on his own. He didn't have the same kind of support and belief system around him that he did in his family. The middle child, Ming, I would say, as a middle child myself, he suffers from a kind of middle child syndrome. He's very upset that he's not, his parents' favorite. He goes out in the world determined to prove himself more of a success. He becomes the quintessential American success story in Manhattan with his banking job and his Ferragamo shoes, and he vows he's never going back to the Midwest. And he's just angry and upset, and he also feels ashamed of being Chinese.
Although he's fluent in Mandarin, opposed to his other brother, which I found really fascinating. He's repulsed, and yet he's fluent.
Well, if he's a very good student, and so he goes to a college and decides, if I'm going to become in any way connected to my culture, I will do it through these language lessons. I will be authentic, etc. The youngest child, James, I think was raised by his two older brothers, and so he's kind of a sweet, happy-go-lucky kid who mostly grew up hearing English. He's close to his parents, but his brothers, spent a huge amount of time with him while his parents were at work, and he is just sort of a good kid who wants to be a, to please his family, to major in science and maybe go to medical school. This is how he starts the book. By the end of the book, he's in a very different place. But yeah.
I feel like we get a lot of perspective through James's eyes, although we get perspective through other characters as well. How did you feel about trying to find that mix of perspective between the brothers, and whose voice should kind of carry through?
Sure. I mean, it seemed to me that James would be an ideal guide to various important scenes in the book because he's relatively innocent. And so I could sort of show him discovering his world anew as an adult, his family, like learning about his family. Readers could learn also. So he is, in many ways, a guide in the book, but his brothers are all present as well. I wanted to make sure that the reader would understand what made each of the brothers tick and how they were different. And I feel that, in a way, to gain a complete picture of a family, you need to talk to everyone in it. Everyone will have a slightly different perspective.
So
So
true.
that seems important.
Talking with Lan Samantha Chang, a professor of the arts at the University of Iowa, author of the new novel, The Family Chow. You can join in with your questions. Have you read the book? What do you like about murder mysteries? And what would you like to ask the author? 800-642-1234. Can we talk about the multitude of names you give characters? There's a bunch of them. And, starting with Dago, you mentioned earlier, the oldest son. Doesn't that mean big dog? And then later in the book, his name changes to William, which is really hard for me to accept as a reader because I know him as someone else. So what were your naming conventions here?
Sure. I mean, for one thing, the book was influenced by a brilliant Russian novel, The Brothers Karamazov, in which every character has a multitude of names and nicknames. And so it was just kind of fun for me as a writer to come up with nicknames as well. But I mean, they have their family names, which are all based on dog names. So big dog, second dog, etc., the boys. And then the brothers also have their American names. So William is one. We never find out what Ming's American name is because he insists upon calling himself Ming, which is part of this idea of being authentic in my mind. Learning Chinese, using his Chinese name, but at the same time having like very complicated feelings about being Chinese. And James, he has his name James, and then his brothers call him a nickname. Which is based on another nickname. Chinese people in certain families would try to name their children after, give their children nicknames after humble objects, like in this case, dog, because it's just a way of keeping the gods from paying too much attention to the, beauty and specialness of one's children, just to keep them safe. So that's part of the nicknames. In a really sort of big big picture way, William's name changes to William in the second half of the book. Doggo changes to William because the second half of the book shows his public life as he is seen, you know, as a sort of pretty complex character by not only the town that they live in, but by the internet society that sort of takes up the story of what happens to this family and turns it into a kind of big internet sensation.
Debacle, right? Yeah,
yes.
I mean, that's so interesting too, because you get engulfed in a family's tensions and a family's inner struggles and their strife, and then it all turns, and then it's like the second half, you have all of this outside world judging these tensions, judging the Chinese immigrant family. Can you explain how, you know, why you approached it that way?
Sure. I was very interested in this idea of community and community within community. And it seemed to me that I was also interested in the idea of how people of various races are viewed by those who don't know them, and how they're also viewed within the community. So the first half of the book is about the family. You know, this is why this book isn't quite a murder mystery per se. It's actually a family story that has a murder in it. The first half tells you, you know, basically how this family sort of works within its community of Chinese Americans, and also how the members of the family see each other. And then in the second half of the book, after, you know, a mysterious death takes place, the book kind of opens up and becomes kind of a picture of how the family is viewed in the middle of this controversy by people in town and also by the sort of internet community.
And the legal system as well.
And the legal system. That's right. How the lawyers describe the characters in the family. And you can see, like, certain aspects of them being emphasized that make them sound a little more like sort of stereotypes.
Lan Samantha Chang's third novel, The Family Chow, she also has a collection of short fiction works. How do you feel about your access to books by Asian American authors, or about Asian American characters? Are publishers and libraries and schools doing enough to encourage more diversity? Did you or a loved one immigrate to Wisconsin? What have you experienced here? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Samantha Chang here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about the new novel, The Family Chow, that is set in a small Wisconsin town called The Haven. And the characters, as author Samantha Chang lays it out for us readers, includes three brothers, Dago, Ming, and James, the handsome son, the accomplished son, and the good son. And that's through the eyes of the youngest son, James, that their mother, Winnie, is the heart of the family. Their father, Leo, is the spleen, who like to call them pioneers, among the first Chinese people to live in Haven. What makes a gripping story? Have you read The Family Chow? Still time, 800-642-1234. Novelist Samantha Chang with us for about nine more minutes. Can we talk about Leo? Leo Chow can be really cruel and crushing character to his own family. And I'm just wondering how you shaped this character. What characteristics did you draw from in order to make Leo?
I mean, Leo just walked right onto the page. He was the first character.
Of course he did. He's larger than life.
Yeah, right. He is larger than life. He is the first character who existed. He existed before I came up with the novel. I was just doodling around in between projects. And this, I mean, he literally walked up into the room. And actually, when he enters the book, that's how he entered my mind as I was working on the book. I wanted to write about a Chinese American immigrant who wasn't just quiet and well-behaved. I feel there's kind of a stereotype that Chinese Americans are this model minority and that everybody is fine, just fine. Everybody feels like they have to behave just fine in order to, you know, fit in with that idea of how they should be. But Leo doesn't care. He's just a piece of work, and a lot of fun to write about. He's very politically incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of his, I guess you could say, characteristics. He's loud and energetic, and he also thinks he's immortal. Like, he really doesn't think he's going to die.
He's also pretty cruel to his eldest son, Dago, who
Yes.
they think that, that the restaurant should be handed down to the oldest son, who is working his tail off to make it successful. And that too is very complicated.
Yes, I mean, that is the major conflict in the novel. I mean, it all comes out of the fact that Dago believes he should be made a partner and Leo does not. I mean, I think one of the things about succession as a literary, plot line storyline is it's about mortality. And Leo doesn't want to acknowledge that he's ever going to have to turn the restaurant turn give it to someone. Turn away from it. He wants to believe he's going to live forever, and also he wants to keep the money. Money is a big theme in this novel.
One personal thing from your family, you had talked about your family as being silent around things of the past. And this novel is very clamorous. There's so much going on. It's loud. Like, there's a lot of dialogue, people shouting at each other. And I'm just wondering, was there a contrast with the way your family went through life as you watched it as a young person versus what you created here?
Sure. Well, there were things we did not talk about when I was growing up. The main one, I think, being my dad's childhood, his story, which really, was set during the Sino-Japanese War when he left home during the Japanese occupation and, never was able to return to his home in Beijing and was always on his own. And I think he had a kind of PTSD, really, that made it difficult for him to think about the past and definitely to talk about it. But in another way, our family was very loud. My dad was, one of these larger-than-life characters. He was, very charismatic, somewhat controlling, very full of life. He loved food and he loved jokes. He could be funny in two languages, it was which is impressive,
It
He
is.
was just an amazing, amazing guy. He died in March of 2020, which is, pretty recently. He lived to be 97 and a half, just full of life. I think that some of him goes into Leo. My dad, on the other hand, was a moral person, and Leo, I think, could be described as pretty immoral, always looking out for himself. So I would say that we were louder than a lot of families might be. We were always laughing and yelling. The one thing that you weren't allowed to say was shut up. My parents thought it was profoundly rude, and they told us that if we said that to each other, we'd have to go stand outside, which, as you know, in Wisconsin can be a bit of a challenge. And so we were always talking, and we were quite noisy. And I thought that I hadn't read that Chinese American family in Asian American literature yet. I grew up in an era where there were rules to writing fiction, and one of them was that you weren't supposed to use very many words, you weren't supposed to use exclamation points. One of my teachers told his son that he was only allowed to use two exclamation points in his entire life. And I just decided I'm going to try to write a book that represents, the feelings I had in certain parts of my life in at home, and I'm just going to use as many exclamation points as I want to. I think there are 219.
Breaking some rules in writing and feeling good
That's
about
right. That's
it.
right. I just got sick of the rules.
Talking with Lan Samantha Chang, professor of the arts at University of Iowa. The new novel is called The Family Chow. I want to bring up this character who I just really appreciate, Lin Chan, in the courtroom. And so Lin has turned to becoming this journalism major in college. and writes this blog, you know, write in short sentences, write bullet points. And so, like, jumps through all the hoops that the teacher wants, gets a C on the assignment. But it takes my breath away when Lynn is able to guide me through the court proceedings and questions whether the jury would believe a flawed but heartfelt Asian man. And at that moment, I'm really pretty stunned because there's a lot going on. Can you bring us closer to those moments?
Oh, I mean, Lynn is a character who appears very little in the first half. The only thing you know about her is that her parents are upset that she's not majoring in data analytics, but she's decided to major in journalism. And then in the second half, there's a trial, and the trial is told through Lynn's perspective through her assignment for school. And one of the things I tried to do is to show at first her following all the rules of blog writing, short sentences, bullet points, no paragraph more than 3 lines long. And then as she gets emotionally involved in the trial, she just starts to break all the rules. And that's why she gets a C. And the thing that causes her to break the rules is this moment when she's going into the bathroom in the courthouse, and this woman who's really upset with her and sees her as, you know, not to give away the plot, but an you know, Chinese American dog eating person, you know, slams the door in her face. And she starts to describe more about her feelings and to attach herself more to the characters she knows in the trial, breaking the rules of journalistic objectivity, describes her own experience in the courtroom as an Asian American woman, and she really kind of goes through a sea change in her attitude toward the whole case. By the end of it, she is understanding that there's a lot at stake, that the jury could, you know, very well not hear the defendant's testimony in a sympathetic way. Dago, who's the defendant, just to give that piece of information away, tells his story, and he tells it, you know, in a very dramatic way. And he's very, very heartfelt way. But the trial has been set up so that people on the jury will see him a certain way.
And we have to leave it there. Samantha, thank you for joining us. Samantha Chang, Program Director at the Iowa Writers Workshop on the Ideas Network.